emphysema.
Yeah, or pneumonitis.
Oh, don't sound so happy about it.
Hey, boys and girls, you've got emphysema.
Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today are Tracy Erickson.
Hey, guys.
And Alex Rennie.
Hello.
Alex Rennie. No Fraser this week. He's gone. I think the tramp got him. And yep. I'll explain that reference. Last week on the podcast, he relayed an anecdote to me about how he'd been chased through a Lancaster park by a tramp.
What was Trump going to do?
Well, he was walking along, Fraser with his laptop bag. He's walking along through the park in the dark. Seemed like a clear road ahead. Kind of looked away, looked back. Then there was a tramp pissing against a tree. But he thought, this is okay. God. You know, this happens. This is real life. Just kept walking, walked past the tramp. And then he was like just coming to the exit to the park. And he was a bit scared, but he thought, what I'll do is when I turn around naturally to kind of leave the park, I'll glance in the direction of the tramp, see what he's doing. And at that point, he was sprinting towards Fraser. So Fraser sprinted away.
It was probably a guy past Fraser who's like another tramp waved at him, going, all right, mate, I've got some alcohol. I found the can in the bin. And yeah. He was like running for it, and Fraser's just caught in the middle.
Very premature.
That's what happened.
And what I said to Fraser is that I'd once in Edinburgh seen a student barman kind of pushing a tramp around a bit. And at the time I'd thought, if I ever get in a fight, it's going to be with a tramp because they're too drunk and malnourished to really defend themselves. Speaking of fights, how was GDC?
Good.
It was good.
Tracy got in a fight.
Really? Who with?
Almost.
Pocket Game Party. He got on stage and tried to punch Chris.
Really? Okay.
That's a fact.
Yeah. After too many beers. It happens. Yep. Chris actually has an insurance policy taken out against that happening.
How many claims?
Drunken slugs.
Yeah. Drunken slugs, so that's another thing altogether. So what happened then? So how was the party? You guys went, by the way, if you're listening. They went. I wasn't there. I was here working. But they were in San Francisco.
You were working.
Yeah, I was working. Yeah, that's right.
Hardly working. Oh, Alex.
I was working. I was hyper-working. I had to speak to people and get dressed, which is obviously a big thing for me at the moment, having been working.
Are you dressing yourself? Are you dressing yourself now?
No, well, generally I don't get dressed. working from home has that massive benefit, but yeah, I had to get dressed like every day. I had to iron a shirt.
That makes me sick. I hate ironing. It's actually my least favorite thing.
Really? I love it.
Really? Susie loves it as well. Yeah. I don't get it. It's so frustrating. All I do is I iron these little pin sharp undeletable creases into my clothes. That's what ironing is for me. Ruining my clothes, making them worse. I find it really frustrating. Okay, well, come on, enough of that. Let's get some structure to this GDC rundown. So, Tracy, what games did you see at GDC?
I wish I could tell everyone, but if I did, I'd have to kill you all.
Everyone that's listening. Jesus, that's so right. that you could be up for Murder 7.
It was very surprising. This was the first show that I've been to in as long as I've been writing, where more games were a larger proportion of the games that I saw, I can't talk about. It was really odd. I would go meet with, for example, I mean, I can tell you who I met with. For example, I met with Big Fish, for example. They do a lot of the kind of hidden object games, and they've had some really good ones on iPhone. And that, like, I sit down and they're like, you can't talk about any of this.
Jesus.
I'm like, well, why are okay? I was like, okay, fair enough. I'm thinking, oh, you know, they just want to have us hold this stuff for a week. No, they're like, no, we want you to hold this for like a month, 2 months. So
it's a little.
So go ahead.
Do they give a reason? I mean, what's the? Are they under pressure from Apple? Is it like no one's allowed to say anything, or is this just people coordinating their marketing efforts?
I don't. With them specifically, they have a particular title for a particular platform. I probably even shouldn't say that much. I hope maybe they're not listening. Hopefully they're not listening.
But it's pretty vague.
You can guess. You can guess as to what the game is for. So I think it's a matter of like they don't necessarily know exactly when the game is going to be available, so they don't really want to talk about it. I think it's better if they would just let me write about it because it's a really cool game and get a little bit of buzz. But of the stuff that I did see, I really liked Zombie Infection, actually.
Oh, the Gameloft one, yeah.
Gameloft. Yeah, that game was actually pretty cool. And Jordan saw Sword and Sorcery, which he said was pretty cool. A lot of people actually said
I saw that.
Oh, you did see it.
Yeah, I didn't. Rob was like, oh, yeah, there was this really cool game, Sword and Sorcery. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then when I saw the story on PG, I was like, oh, yeah, I played that for 20 minutes.
Was it any good?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get the game, but apparently that's not finished. But the music is unbelievable. I was just sitting there, and they give you like these Bose headphones, and you just sit there like walking around in this game. But it's thumping,
right.
Thumping techno beats.
Ah, is it like a old-fashioned kind of 8-bit music?
Nah, it's kind of like a 0E7 music with lots of bass. If that makes any sense to anyone listening,
that makes sense to me. And it's got me excited.
It's exciting.
This looks like the sort of title you'd be really into, huh, Rob?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I like retro stuff. It looks interesting. It reminds me a bit of the screenshots I've seen. It reminds me of Another World, this old Amiga game that came out, Delphine Software, and it was the animation of it was where it was a bit like Prince of Persia, where they just kind of got this really kind of fluid human-looking animation, but in a quite basic backdrop. It looks sort of like that. I'm keen to see it.
What was that game that where you'd run across the like Cannibolt, was it, or something?
Cannibolt, yeah.
The graphics are a little bit, obviously they're a lot better, but they're a little bit in that style, you know, blocky. I don't know.
Pixel art, that's what it's called.
Good game, hopefully.
The other game that I saw that really stuck in my eyes, actually it was probably the top of my list before the show started, was Xenonia 2, which we have I just finished doing a preview. It's up on the site now. Wasn't unfortunately so happy with how it's shaping up, which was a little bit of a downer because I really liked the first one. It was an alpha build. It was pretty early on, but the controls were not very good. And I was assured that they're going to, that essentially it's not finished, that they have another month of polish, that the game is done. They're essentially just kind of tweaking things. And I really, really hope that that happens because it's a really interesting concept, really cool game. And the dialogue is funny, just like the first one. But gosh, the controls just were not good.
Right.
This is like an official shout out to Gameville then to sort it out, I think. It is Gameville, right?
Yeah, and I think they know, because when I was meeting with them, they kept kind of, what do you think?
Crying.
What do you think? You know, kind of leaning in, you know, what do you think about that? What do you think about this? So they know. I mean, they're smart people over there. They also, to be fair, it was a game that was not originally designed for iPhone. And that's, you know, no matter how much you tweak and polish, it's never going to feel quite right. I mean, if you want to make an iPhone game feel like an iPhone game, it has to be an iPhone game. You can't port something over. And that's not just iPhone. That's any platform. If you try shoving something on PSP that was originally on Xbox 360 or, you know, something else, you're going to know. You can just feel it. So I think that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah, well, you've given me a link there. I love it when that happens because now we can talk about the awards, which you were both at, and you can tell me about. But Xenonia, one, there's only one, the original one, best adventure slash RPG game there. So the previous one, I guess it was facing a lot less competition now and then, and things have got come on a bit. But Xenonia 1 is still good, apparently, according to Pocket Gamer. So the awards. Firstly, I'm just going to run through them really quickly, and then you can tell me what it was like. So best action arcade, Nova. Best casual slash puzzle, Flight Control. Best adventure, Xenonia. Best strategy simulation, Star Defense. Best sports game, FIFA 10. Best social game, iMobsters. Best most innovative game, Zenbound. Best free game, Real Racing GTI. Best developer, Firemint. Best publisher, Gameloft. Game of the year, Flight Control. Best action arcade game. No, I'm not going to do mobile.
Stop.
Yeah, I'll stop now.
Right, people.
Yeah, yeah, go to the site and you can read the whole thing. But that was it. That was Pocket Gamer's inaugural awards thing, you know, program, ceremony. And there was a ceremony and you guys were there. What was it like? Describe the scene.
Lots of people.
Yeah, lots of people. Very busy. A lot of iPhone devs drinking the free drink. And it was in a place called Harlot, which is quite a female orientated environment. if you like other females, then yeah, it's brilliant. And if you just like females in general, it's also good because of the artwork on the wall and on the tables. I think people appreciated that. I think that was a key part of the awards and something we should aim to replicate possibly year on year, leading up to basically what could be termed a porn show, maybe.
Harlem. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Who was responsible for choosing the venue?
Tracy suggested it, and I booked it. So pretty much both of us that are here now are 100% responsible.
Tag team effort. You double clotheslined it, and then you were there.
Yeah.
How did the ceremony go? Were the winners pleased?
Yeah, happy. Firemint were very happy. I think she got sick of walking to the stage, though. After her long trip from Australia, which is where Firemint are based.
Yes.
One that doesn't know that. Yeah, it was good. It was really good. Chris spoke, and then Tracy did the iPhone Awards, and Tracy added some jokes in there, which pepped everything up. And then the microphone broke. So that was like a 10-minute interval where I played various tunes from the DJ set, Foo Fighters. The Winner Takes It Off, that was played at one point. Other various cheesy songs. But yeah, it was sweet. Lots of free drink, lots of developers, lots of people, lots of chatting. There was like developers speaking to other developers who were both like super successful guys. Like there was, I think, the Pocket God guys talking to the Lima Sky guys. And they were like showing each other something on iPhones. That was pretty cool.
That's ridiculous. I read the other day that, and I've already told you about this, Alex, but I read the other day in a book that over the last few decades, the 15 richest people in the world have amassed more wealth than all of sub-Saharan Africa. And I think the same kind of thing, because Lima Sky and the Pocket God people, Bolt, that's four people. And I think they're heading for that. They've just about amassed this.
they were probably like showing how they were going to crush the world on their iPhone with the money that they've made.
It's amazing. They've got a lot of money.
I mean, it was cool. I mean, I think the thing I really liked about our party is that people seemed really happy. Like, I mean, people are happy to be at a party in general, but it was like people were mingling. People were eager to like talk to each other. And sometimes you go to GDC parties or it doesn't matter really what show it is. And there are cliques that get formed and, you know, people kind of stay in their groups and they'll just chat in these small groups. That definitely wasn't our party. People like were really like, oh, hey, look what I'm doing. You know, hey, good to meet you. Who are you? I mean, there was actually, I met one person there who I obviously met him there. I'd never seen him before. And that was because he was the lead programmer at Sony Santa Monica on God of War 3 and had been invited to as part of someone's guest who was an iPhone developer that we had invited. So it was like this really, it was just, for me, kind of crystallized like the party. It was like, people wanted to be there and were just having a really good time because they were so interested in what we're doing with iPhone games, and then, you know, to hear the awards. It was really cool.
Well, that doesn't make me any more jealous.
I think the best thing was when we put all that crack in the drinks and gave it out. That really got the party going.
That's my favourite bit of any party. The crack spike.
Chris got naked and all degenerated from there, really.
He doesn't remember. It was good stuff.
It was good stuff. Yeah. That was good crack.
Susie, my girlfriend, knows how to make crack. She learned in a professional capacity.
I know someone that learned in an unprofessional capacity.
Yeah.
And then it was so addictive. He took some and it was so addictive. This guy is a respectable guy who works for an insurance company. He took some, like a tiny bit of it, and then he had to throw all the rest of it away because it was so amazing. So he just flushed the rest of it down the toilet and never took any drugs ever again.
He's got character.
He has.
I like it. That all sounds like fun. Maybe I'll be there next year. So that was that. Let's talk about some of the things that have been happening this week. There's a good story today. Don't know if you've seen it. AppSites named and shamed for selling expedited iPhone game reviews.
I did see it, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is exciting.
Sent the link on MSN. That's why I saw it.
I think it's good. I'm always interested in stories like this. It's obviously, expedited reviews aren't good, but this is my favourite kind of story, a kind of intrigue type story. So basically, Wired was the one who wrote the article today, or published the article today, and the sites it singled out were the iPhone App Review and App Craver.
Yeah.
Both of which are explicitly... So there's a subtle difference in what they do. The App Craver kind of explicitly expedites reviews, and I think Wired got this a little bit mixed up in its article, so I'll clarify that just in case you've read that but you haven't heard this yet. Wired takes expedited to mean that that sites do the reviews quickly, but that's not the case. It means that they do them at all in a lot of cases, and certainly with AppCraver. I was surprised to learn this today by looking at AppCraver's kind of about us thing. What they do is when they get a review request, they kind of automatically send back a pro forma saying, you know, yeah, we'll do a review. give us $150, I think it is. But then it's very... When they have a review that is expedited in that way, it's labelled as such. The other one, the iPhone App Review, they're a little bit in a stickier situation because the editor of that site sort of denied that they do that. And if anyone had done it, they were just, you know, it was just rogue writers because they have the writers work kind of autonomously. But then as soon as he said that, someone else... published on their blog, what was his name? Let's see, Matt Marquez, revealed in a blog post that, in fact, he had applied for a job with this site, the iPhone App Review, and when he'd applied for the job, the editor of that site had told him exactly what it involves, and that was to offer to review people's games for money.
He shot all over them.
Yeah.
He released it.
So that was that.
Well, you know, I think it's good. I mean, certainly we've been aware of this for quite some time, right? But it really required a publication like Wired to point this out, because Wired is, I mean, certainly as a print publication with a web presence, they have a very good reach, but it's also a matter of they don't really kind of put their resources into reviewing a lot of titles like we do, or a lot of the other iPhone gaming and just iPhone app sites do. So they're kind of removed from this in a way. And I think that's important because then, you know, because if we were to run that sort of story, people would be like, oh, you're just complaining about your competitor. Mm-hmm. Whereas Wired does this and it's like, oh, you know, kind of Wired kind of competes with them in a sort of general way, but not really, right? Like, so I think it makes it, that's why people are really paying attention, because I talk with people about this all the time. I have a friend who works in public relations who has told me horror stories about dealing with these people, basically saying, you know, he wants to get an app reviewed, and they're just, you know, they really press him about, you know, saying, well, you've got to pay us $150 if you want to even be considered. And of course, you know, his response is, that's not how it works. Like, this is, I can't believe you're asking me to do this. So he's been, you know, he's forwarded me emails and I'm just sitting here and looking like, I cannot believe somebody is doing this, particularly here in the U.S., that would happen here because it's so heavily frowned upon.
I think a big thing as well is it's causing, I mean, it's not causing us problems, but I get a reasonable amount, you know, I'm obviously on the sales side of things here, but, you know, I do read the editorial stuff, I'm interested in it all. And I get emails quite a lot where people are like, oh, I want to pay for a review. And I have to be like, well, no, we don't offer that. But I think they get the idea that they can pay for a review because these sites are out there offering it.
Yeah.
You know, so if everyone was like, oh, no, you know, paid reviews don't exist, the people wouldn't be pushing for paid reviews. And in a bad way, I do see, you know, the iPhone app reviews point that, it costs money to do reviews and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that has to be supported by your advertising revenue on your site and, you know, other revenue. You can't support it by having people pay for reviews. I think that's just the bottom line. Really.
Oh, exactly, yeah. There's no shortcuts. That's what I think. So this is all very interesting. That I feel sorry. Even though they're very bad people, clearly, I feel very sorry for the editors of those sites. It'd be a horrible situation to be in. They've been exposed so publicly and specifically, because there are, I assume, a lot of sites doing this. I don't think it is just those two, we should say. But that's all very exciting. But remember, there's the kind of mirror image of this. Well, the negative of this was a few months ago when, who was it? The Portable Gamer, I think, got contacted by that jerk.
Yes.
Yeah, God, he was a tosser.
I'm going to find him.
And Portable Gamer said no, and he actually gave them abuse because they wouldn't accept his money to run something. It turns out that actually if they had run it, because a few sites did run the story that he wanted them to write for money, which should be no surprise to anyone given how many sites are actually offering it explicitly. And none of them got their money off him. So they all got theirs. But this guy, he was a piece of work.
Can I say what the game was called?
We decided not to because...
We're not saying what it's called because that gives him publicity.
We got into a bit of a thing with him.
Let me read... I've got the email up in front of me now.
Go on, but we won't say who he is because then it'll give him what he wants.
We won't say who it is. Some unnamed tosspot. Let's just call him John because that's quite generic and that's his actual name. Said... I think we published a story on it saying... this psycho tried to threaten to kill people if they don't take his money.
That's right.
And then I sent him the link in quite a humorous way and saying, hey, we've published a story on you. You're famous. And then he went mental and said that he was in London that moment and he can drop in to kick my ass and have the article removed that he will. So I invited him to come along. That'd be excellent. I told him that we're nowhere near London, so it's up to him if he wants to go on the train for a couple of hours, and then he never replied again. But yeah, he was a complete psychopath. He was the most mental iPhone dev I've ever seen.
That's fun. I think it was all fake though. I think he was just doing it for.
Here's the last follow up. He was on the BBC News site.
Oh no!
Remember that he got on the BBC News site as an iPhone app specialist.
Speaking quite respectfully, but this is the thing. I think it was a ruse. It was all very odd. Anyway, so that was that. But that, the lesson is really App Store review sites. It's kind of this weirdly Wild West situation of lots of. It's not like the old days where there were just a few magazines reviewing games and you could trust them. Where, you know, this is the future now, everybody. This is the internet. It's an unregulated Wild West Deadwood type situation, and people are accepting money for reviews all over the place. So be very careful and only go to the trusted ones. For example, Pocket Gamer, but there are others. So there's that. So that was. I liked that story. That was good. I also like this story in a more nerdy way. THQ has announced that there's going to be a Bluetooth Star Wars lightsaber duel app.
Yes.
So two people simultaneously can fight each other.
So the iPhone is a lightsaber?
You pick up your iPhone, you start the app, and I'm speculating a bit here. You start up the app and it goes and as you move it, it goes, and as you, because it's Bluetooth, the two phones must know where each other are, so when your kind of imaginary sword hits their imaginary sword, it goes,
well, so it, like, your sword is sticking out of the top of the hypothetical sword is sticking out the top of the iPhone, is that what you're saying?
It's the only way I can imagine it would work. And then
I don't think that's it. I like it, but I don't know if you can do that with Bluetooth.
Well, it would be sophisticated, but Jez seemed to, our art director, seemed to think it was doable. He said something about triangulation.
I don't know. I like it, but it's just got to make the sound, really. That's the key for the whole game.
Yeah.
And what happens if you hit, like, iPhones?
Do we, if you actually touch?
Yeah, if you collide iPhones.
Oh, that's the end of the game. You immediately switch off. You just lower your hands, lower your heads, and just walk off in opposite directions, sobbing. Thinking, I need to phone my insurance people. But ironically, about the thing I've just destroyed.
Well, what about, remember the Wii when people were suing it because it kept on breaking the TVs?
Yeah.
We could have another huge story on our hands here.
Yeah, another round of legal actions. I smacked myself right in the head with a Wiimote.
No.
Was that on purpose or was that playing
No, it was accidental. I was playing Wii Tennis and just hit myself in the head. It was amazing.
That's Wii Tennis.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. So next, here's another story. I'm trying to decide which are the big stories. What's a big story? Mirror's Edge. John Mundy, our mobile guy, went to see that in London. It's been delayed for quite some time. You know all about it, Tracy. It's coming in the spring, and it's now got Facebook Connect support. Aside from that, there's no other reason for the delay. The reason that EA is giving is that they've integrated Facebook Connect.
Does anybody really buy that, though? No, I mean, are you telling me that it's going to take, let's see, 3 months to add Facebook Connect? No, yeah. My guess is they optimized it for iPad.
Yeah,
it's the only thing I can think of that would take 3 months.
Yeah, but it will be coming presumably at or around the iPad launch, which is what is it now? Just about 3 weeks now, 2 weeks. Beginning of April, 3rd of April, they get shipped, don't they?
2 weeks. 2 weeks tomorrow. That is the date of the 3rd of April.
Wow.
It's going to be Saturday.
It's going to be annoying. If it doesn't arrive on Saturday, you're not going to get it on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's right. You're
going to be fighting at delivery depots.
You're going to be thinking about these things.
Lots of upset fanboys.
You could collect it from the store on a Sunday.
Yeah, maybe.
If that did you.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Don't like doing that, though. Goals me to go to them when, you know, they've been paid to come to me.
Happens what if you don't pay delivery charge?
Yeah, then it's free.
Yeah, would you prefer that?
Well, they've still been paid. I mean, you know.
They've been paid for the thing, but not for the delivery.
They don't. Mm-hmm. Oh, if it's free delivery?
Yeah, it's free delivery.
Yeah, but then that's different because...
You just don't want to have to get dressed.
Yeah. That's just not true there.
Oh, God. Right, fine. So, I like this one. This will affect... We can talk about this intelligibly because we are in the respective nations. Well, not intelligently, but intelligibly.
Oh, okay. You see, I didn't even get that, so there you go.
A game called Sperm Killer came out this week. But in the UK, it's called Sperm Killer, and in the US, it's called S.M. Killer.
What else could it be?
What do you think of that, Tracy? What's going on?
We're very prude here.
Sorry.
I think America's a combination of the two, though. I think it can be quite prudish, but then it's also quite rude. Like, it's got more... Like in Britain, there's no pornography anywhere, whereas in America... They don't.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, but you can obtain really proper pornography, or so I gather. I've never been to America. But Susie said that she had an American housemate when she was at university, and one time she was sitting on the train, and this guy was sitting on the train reading a British newspaper called The Sun, which has page 3, which is a topless woman. And this girl she just couldn't believe that someone was looking at pornography on the train. So it's this combination of quite prudish and high pornography accessibility levels. Do you think it's necessary? Do you think it's is it unusual for it to be asterisked out in America? Were you surprised?
Why wouldn't you just name it something else? Yeah. I would just name it something else because it looks kind of weird. I wonder what happens when you try searching, you know, what it does to the search.
How many people are searching for sperm? That's what I want to know.
Do you?
it's me right now. There's one.
Sticky keyboards.
Sperm killer. Sperm's not a rude word. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's the word for it. Like, if you go and see a doctor about your levels of fertility, he will use the word sperm.
Well, it's a very clinical term.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I could run through those if we need to lower the quality of the podcast.
Yeah, there are lots of rude words. Sperm is not even, it's not even rude, basically.
That's top of the unrude list. There's lots of sperm games. I sperm.
So why would they have to asterisk it out? Maybe they were afraid that they were going to get taken off the store if they didn't change the name, so they did it preemptively.
Maybe they knew we'd feature it in the podcast, therefore boosting publicity.
Yeah.
Maybe they're very smart.
It's a funny word, isn't it? Sperm.
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 Sperm. Not really. No, I think it describes perfectly accurately what it is.
Sperm. Yeah. All right. Well, there was that. Anyway, that happened. That was good. Dedicated iPad apps are going to get their own section on the App Store. This is good news if you're a developer. I think Fraser and I were wondering about this on the podcast last week. What was going to happen when the iPad apps came along? They were just going to be folded into everything, but a story came along and answered our question. There's going to be an iPad apps section on the App Store, so that's good. We'll be going straight there when we get ours.
Yeah. If we ever get ours in the UK.
Yeah, it's probably never going to happen. The world will end first.
Apple.
There'll be a tidal wave that will destroy us all.
Yeah, or we won't be able to afford it because it'll be treble the price.
Yeah. Square Enix has revealed an RPG, Chaos Rings. Do you know about this, Tracy? You probably know more about this than anyone else.
It looks ridiculously good. It happened a night ago, so like 24 hours ago, a day ago.
Yeah.
And everything for the iPhone stuff is run out of the Japan office. They don't do any work on the iPhone games here in the U.S., and so all of their announcements happen relatively late at night. So it was like 11. I guess it's not that late. It was like 11, and the announcement goes through, and it was like, oh, it's probably just going to be some 2D game. And I looked at the trailer. I was like, oh, my God. It's pretty mind-blowing, like, what they're doing. Obviously, I haven't played it, so I don't know if the gameplay is any good. But it looks really ridiculous. It's basically the story revolves around this arena where the winner gets eternal life and youth, and you fight in pairs. So there are five pairs of fighting teams, and obviously you control each of these pairs in combat, and it's completely customized for the touchscreen. So it's not like they ported over, you know, with the Final Fantasy and Final Fantasy I. It was essentially they had a menu system that they kind of reconfigured for touch control. There's nothing like that in this. It looks like it's a turn-based RPG, but some of the battles that they were showing in the initial trailer and in the screenshots look really impressive, against like big dragons, and there's this one that has, it looks like this giant demon guy with this armor. It just looks really cool. I think I was speaking with one of the readers via Twitter, and he was saying, this is kind of like the first real AAA iPhone game. And I kind of like that because we've had, you know, Grand Theft Auto, which is certainly a AAA game, right? It's a great game, but it's not an iPhone game. It was originally designed for DS, and it certainly works very well, but it's not an iPhone game. So this is really kind of the first really big, expensive production that a console game company has done. So it's very exciting. I think even if you're not into role-playing games, I think this is really one to watch in terms of seeing how the quality turns out. Like, are people going to buy it? You know, I mean, that's the other question is, I'd love to know how much they're going to charge for it. I think there's a possibility they could charge more than $10 for it. Because, and the reason why I say that is Square Enix, and this is another to link to another news bit that's on the site. Square Enix is charging $8.99 for a screenshot gallery for Final Fantasy 12 or 13. So if they're willing to charge that much for a screenshot gallery, what's to prevent them from charging $14.99 for an actual game?
Can they do that though? I have some confusion about this. Maybe you can clear it up now. You know, the sort of most expensive a game ever is $9.99 or £5.99. Is that something that is kind of hardwired into it, and game makers are sort of unable to put games on for more than that, or is it just that that's the convention, but it's kind of a rigid convention and they can't break it?
It's just convention. I mean, they could charge if they wanted to $59.99.
Remember that $1,000 app?
I am rich.
Yeah.
So it's really just a convention. I mean, because really, when you look at it, the titles that have been released at $9.99 have been very select. I mean, EA has released several, but the reason why those have been successful has everything to do with the fact that they're very recognizable brands. You know, FIFA, Madden. I don't think even Need for Speed was released at $9.99. I think it was released at $6 or $7. So, I was speaking with John, and he was like, "I don't think they're gonna. I think they'll be $9.99." And he's probably right, but at the same time, I would not be surprised if they did try to boost that price up a little bit more.
Maybe it'll be $9.99, and then they'll try and make more from in-app purchases like Dragon Age on the 360, PS3. We'll see. But it's going to be good. I like that idea about it being the first kind of AAA iPhone game. But, you know, the Nintendo and Sony, even though they are clearly already worried, it's things like this that give them reason to be, I think. Last thing I want to mention is Gameloft put some games on sale this week, and it just struck me as quite a good sale. So even though it's a fairly boring story, I'll mention it anyway. In case you want to pick one of these up, Earthworm Jim, 59p/99 cents. Dungeon Hunter as well, same price, they're all 59p. Skater Nation, the site's not loading, so I can't tell you what the others are. But that's pretty good, isn't it? I bought Earthworm Jim.
Those are really good.
Yeah, Dungeon Hunter seems really good. Like the production, I'd never played it before, but I'd always been curious. But, you know, because it cost £3 or something, that was, you know, too much for me to do it. But the production values are ridiculously high. Like the writing and the everything, yeah, very good.
Well, that's a role-playing game, so there you go. Here we go. So it's Earthworm Jim, Dungeon Hunter, Skater Nation, Real Soccer 2010, Real Football 2010, and Blades of Fury.
Blades of Fury, that's the only one I was thinking of. Oh, it's loaded again. Yeah,
and
so
you guys
good.
Have got until Sunday, the 21st, so you've got 2 days.
Probably won't have the podcast out by then.
Do it. No, you will. Oh, yeah. I'm edit. If you're, in case you're curious, Fraser was always the producer, so to speak. So I'm editing this one together this week. So, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to be hot. It's my first ever attempt. those are good games. So this is a public service announcement, really, that we're doing this, telling people to go and pick up at least a couple of those games for 59p each. It's a bargain. Do it.
And those titles have, some of them have Game Off Live support. So you can earn achievements in Dungeon Hunter and Skater Nation and Blades of Fury. And if you're online, you can come and find my profile. It's PG Tracy, TRACY. All one word.
Excellent. Right.
I'm just holding Real Soccer now. Is it any good?
Yeah, I have played that one, actually. I thought it was all right.
It's all right.
I've just bought it. Just bought it right now.
Good. Well, there you go. That's three sales. Between us, we've given Gameloft £1.80. Lucky sods. We're flagging now. We have to get out of the news section and into the rumor mine. And we can't spend too long even there or anywhere else because it's been such a news-heavy podcast. But let's go to the rumor mine.
Rumor. Rumor.
Are you familiar with the necessity to create metaphors to describe?
Oh, yeah. God, it's hot down here. God, I hate the rumor mine. It's so overbearing and claustrophobic.
Tracy?
Well, we've got a lot to mine after GDC, huh? There's, look at all the gems that are around.
Gems?
Okay. It's like we're in Bejeweled.
Yeah.
On here.
It's all good. And
it's hot.
It's hot, sweaty.
But that's just general. That's nothing to do with the room, man.
Hot and sweaty? What are we, in a sauna?
We're in a mine, Tracy. We're in a mine.
Deep under... We've just crawled for 2 miles. And we've got lung conditions.
Emphysema.
Yeah. Or pneumonitis.
don't sound so happy about it.
Hey, boys and girls, you've got emphysema!
Yeah. All right, rumor mine then.
Oh God! Right, yeah, let's go on with the content. The rumor miner has been to GDC and he's telling us about a mind-blowing 3D massively multiplayer online game. No details beyond that, but it's coming and it's going to be awesome.
Who's that?
The rumor miner.
Oh, right. We don't even know the developer.
Oh no, we don't know the developer. We don't know the name of the game, but we know that it's coming out on iPhone and iPod Touch, and there's also going to be an optimized version for iPad. It's an MMO. The important detail here is it's going to be awesome. So something
worst
awesome
rumor ever
is coming. Okay. So Sim...
There's this game as well that I heard about that's magic, and it makes your iPhone faster.
Really?
Yeah, that's really good.
Why isn't that in the rumor mine?
Just put it in there.
That's a good one.
Oscar actually told me about it. Oscar is a dog. Could come up with a rumor just as good as your last rumor. How vague your rumor was.
The rumor miner. I won't tell the rumor miner what you've been saying. SimCity is going to be... There's going to be an optimized version on an iPad that's going to be very nice. It's going to look really good and swanky. And Swish, according to the rumor miner, so this hasn't been confirmed. But if you're a SimCity fan, then that's something to look out for when you get your big, giant iPod Touch-like device.
iPad, the code, Rob.
Yeah. Are you getting one, Alex?
Yeah, I think so, but only because it's something to waste some money on. It's that, or a camera. Like a good camera.
What? That's not even a choice.
I know.
You can only use a camera for taking pictures of stuff. I don't know if anyone's told you that.
And you can use an iPad to look at pictures.
Yeah, and other things as well.
Pictures that have been taken by other people in
that,
studios.
That second page of the Sun magazine that you were talking about earlier.
Page three? Come on, get it
page
right.
Three.
Page three.
No, the worst bit about page three. This is the worst thing about it. That sometimes there's some news on there and you really want to read it, but you can't. Because you're in a public place and it's on page three. So you just have to like go, oh, page one, yeah. Oh, continue to page three. I don't think so. I'm in a waiting room.
I don't want anyone thinking I'm a pervert.
Yeah, so you have to skip page three and you're like, oh, what?
I know. I hate it. But, and there's the more direct problem I have, which is that I pick up the Sun. There's only really one page I want to look at. And it's the only page I can't look at because I'm in a public place. So I have to... But I do the thing where I... like, I'll put my hand in... make sure that my finger's got two pages.
Oh, wait, whoa.
So they go, no, not there, not that. No, not like that. No, I pick up the Sun, I'm in the hairdresser, there's a kind of some guys around me, I pick up the paper, pages at once, so I go straight to page five, because I don't even want anyone to think that it even occurred to me. But sometimes, if I really want to look, and I'm determined, and I think it's not fair that we live in this kind of society where I'm not allowed to just look, then I'll really quickly go, and really quickly, and pretend like I'm relaxing, and I'm just kind of breezily, that's a page, and now I'll go to the next page. But secretly, I'm thinking, stock up, get and drink as much of it as you can into your brain before you get to page five. So what else have we got? Final Fantasy series getting an original iPhone installment. So that's going to be good too.
Is that a rumor?
Did you know, actually, there was actually plans to do an original Final Fantasy game for mobile. And it was going to be done by a U.S. studio. It was going to be the first time that Square Enix was going to take development of a game in that franchise and give it to someone outside of Japan. And it fell apart at the last moment. So that sounds like that could happen.
Yeah, now's the time. Well, I think so. With Chaos Reigns as well. I think.
Well, yeah. I've been told that they've got another title. They've right. got something else, some other iPhone specific title in the works. So it could be a Final Fantasy game. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I confirm what I already think is more than a rumor anyway?
But,
is Tekken coming out then? Is that definite?
Well, so you got the... Yeah, go on. What's the situation?
I read the story that you wrote, Tracy. I think it was the 5th of March. And then it's like, oh yeah, cool, Tekken's coming out. And then like Namco are like, we won't be showing any games, anything from the Tekken... I don't know, they said something quite vague anyway. I can't remember the exact wording.
Yeah.
It didn't really confirm either way if Tekken was coming out. And then all the comments were like, oh, cool, Tekken's coming out. And then someone who seems to be, I don't know, maybe knowledgeable about it, was just like, Tekken's not coming out. And then linked some Japanese site, which was obviously in Japanese, so I had no idea what it said. And you're like, it's not coming out. So, yeah, I was just wondering, what does the rumor miner think of that rumor? Is that live?
Well, I haven't talked to him about the Tekken thing for a while. But I can tell you, I did meet with Namco at GDC, and they certainly had taken note of the story and were wondering, you know, where the information had come from. Now, mind you, they walked a very thin line in saying, you know, they kept saying, well, we don't know where you got the information from. We're wondering where you got the information from, but never outright coming, you know, not ever saying, you're totally wrong. This is not happening. You know, you really need to like pull this. Like, you know, I'm not gonna have us post a story if it isn't well sourced.
Yeah.
And I told them that. So okay. it's well sourced. And just for a little bit of context, you know, there is a mobile version of Tekken that runs, I think, on Java. So. You're going to tell, you know, just as a gamer, you're going to have a Tekken game that runs on a really low powered mobile device, but not take advantage of this 3D device, particularly when you have Tekken 6 on PSP. So it seems very likely to me that it's going to happen, even just anecdotally. But, you know, the fact that there was a source, you know, that I have somebody that's coming to me and saying, yeah, this is going to happen. My guess is, you know, this is a big property. It's, you know, obviously a huge game. If they're going, you know, when they announce it, it's not going to be like how they've announced all of their other iPhone games where it's like, oh, hey, we've got a game. Here you go. Just a general press release. They'll probably do something with like Famitsu, you know, and do like what, you know, a big spread in the next issue, or they'll announce it at like E3. Right, like I mean, they should make a splash with it, and I think they know that. And from what I've been told, it's not, you know, the people I met with at GDC were from the U.S. office, and it's not being handled there. It's being handled in Japan. So, I think that also might be a source of frustration of like, well, you know, they would love to kind of be in control of that, but it's really kind of the Tekken series is being controlled by the headquarters in Japan.
Okay, just to follow up on that, I was at the Capcom launch party for Street Fighter, and I found an excellent quote online from, I think, the end of August in 2008, and it says that Street Fighter, Oscar's also seen this quote, that Street Fighter will not be launched on the iPhone. Direct quote. Google has found it in the cache, and it was on a big site. And yeah, so there it is.
So we just
who knows what happened.
That's a good point about it coming out on mobile. We've just put the mobile review up on the site this week actually, and it did well. It got an 8 out of 10, reviewed by one of our new mobile reviewers, Wayne Turton.
Oh, Wayne. Wayne Turton. Oh, an Wayne. Excellent reviewer.
Good review.
Good review.
But that's, wow, this has been a hell of a rumor of mine.
Oh.
Rumors have been coming in, like, while we've been there. We've been in the mine, and then people have been pouring extra, or we've been digging.
It's like a landslide, yeah.
I don't know, does that work, or maybe we've just been digging more. We've got some new equipment, which means, you know, we get deeper, we get more gems, but, you know, the thing now we should do is leave the rumor mine.
Yeah, it's too hot down here.
Yeah.
And sweaty.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
Phew.
Yeah.
I'm wiping my brow with the back of my hand and putting my clothes back on for the final section.
You were naked? You were naked in the rumor mine?
It's dark and it's hot, so it's all right.
There's no light at all, thank God.
Yeah, so it's fine.
Oscar saw something, that's why he's barking.
Yeah. Don't eat the hot dog, Oscar.
Hot dog?
Just, no. Right, okay. So what have we been playing? God, I haven't played very much, actually, this week. I downloaded, because I thought it looked interesting, although Tracy subsequently disabused me of this belief, Maestro Green Groove, which is a game where you play a little bird and you go along. I'm going to put the volume up so you can kind of get an idea of it. But basically, it's a platform game, kind of, although there are only kind of two or three platforms. You can be on different levels, basically. You get to the levels by putting a string that you're running along. And as you can hear, it's playing Beethoven's Ninth, I think it is. So what's happening is I'm running along and there are these stars on the level, and every time I hit one, it plays one of those notes that goes tick, 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 tick. And if I miss those, then, you know, the tune doesn't get played properly, I guess. You run along automatically, so to make sure you hit the right stars, you've got to do this thing where you pull up on the string. Irrespective of what you think about the mechanics of the game, it is quite unresponsive, like the actual string.
What's it called again?
It's called Maestro Green Groove.
Something like that at GDC.
Yeah, just, well, maybe it was this. It's probably was, because it was just released last week. So it's kind of a neat enough idea, but the actual execution of it I'm not sure about, because it's not very responsive. So unfortunately, yeah, I'm not crazy about it. But there you go. I also downloaded Peggle finally.
You have played it?
Well, I downloaded Peggle this week.
Did you? Well, that's coincidence. Yeah. I played it on the old iPod Nano, or Mini. I played it with the old scroll wheel, so I was conversant in it. But I thought, no, I'll get it for this. I went on a bit of a rampage this week, and I also got Earthworm Jim and the Dungeon Hunter, which seems pretty good, but I only played a little bit of it. So, you know, I can't really... The cutscenes were awesome, but beyond that, I can't really say. That's me, really. I've got mine out of the way because I haven't really been playing much. How about you, Tracy?
Really quickly, let's see. I played Zombie Smash, which is reviewed up on the site. Really fun. If you like Castle Defense, definitely get it. It's fun. It's got it's all physics-based. So you got cool little weapons that you can use to smash zombies. Really recommend it. Also been playing a game that is not out yet called Frogman versus, I think it's Dr. Fly.
Oh, yes.
Which is essentially like a contemporary take on Frogger. It's actually way better than Frogger. They did a really nice job with the visuals. It's quite nice. It's supposed to be out soon, I think probably within about 3-4 weeks. And they're also doing an optimized iPad version, so we'll be definitely taking a look and giving you more information on that. And the other game that I've been tinkering with is Pool Pro Online 3, which is Namco's latest game, which enables you to play. It has cross-platform online play, which is really cool. So if you have an Android device, Nexus One, for example, I can totally play against you using an iPod Touch. And it's all fully online, so it works over the network, 3G, Edge, and then, of course, Wi-Fi. And, yeah, it's actually surprisingly good. I was
I shouldn't say surprisingly good. The series is actually pretty good quality, but I shouldn't say surprising in the sense that it actually runs really well in terms of the cross-platform play and the online. It was developed by the same team that did... it's not developed by the same team that did Garters and Ghouls. But anyway, it's a good game. So if you like pool, I would definitely recommend it.
And this is going to be one of the big iPad ones, isn't it?
Yes. So there will also be cross-platform play with iPad. Obviously, you'll have to be on Wi-Fi if you get that first batch of iPads that come out. But I imagine that when the 3G models come out, that you should be able to play over the network.
Yeah, well, that's going to be good. Should say we've got a list on the site. No, yeah, I'll say that now because you said the magic word iPad, so I'm going to say it now. There's a list on the site of all the iPad launch games, which is kind of growing as we learn about them. So there are 68 of them. I'm just looking down. Ancient Frog, that looks interesting. Astro Ranch HD. But go to Pocket Gamer and check out that list, and you can see what's going to be on iPad when it comes out. Zenbound 2, yeah, that's going to be good. Alex, have you been playing any games?
I have played Bejeweled 2. That is how boring I am. And I don't even play. I only play like the Blitz version. That's a minute, and yeah. I play it to make me go to sleep. How sad is that?
What's your current high score?
Yeah, I got 411,000. Although
you didn't.
Yeah, well, I'm going to admit now, I've lied about this to you already a few times. What actually happened was I played two-player with Rianne at the same time. So, like, we're both, like, touching the screen at the same time. And it's, like, it's quite cool, actually. I don't know why. In fact, this is a shout-out to PopCap, not that they listen, to make it, like, make a two-player version on the same iPhone, because that's how we play it, and it's quite fun.
Right, okay.
But it's so good that it's boring playing it one-player now. You're like, oh, what? Where's the other person? And like, firstly, you take, like, yeah, you get like a half of the screen each.
Yeah.
And then like you play it, and like you don't let the other person stray into your half of the screen, and then you fight over it. It's quite good. It's good.
That's soppy. I think you're soppy. No, yeah. You said that. But also, so you, and that improves your scoring capacity, does it?
Well, yeah, because you can get more things. Like you can get more, much faster things, and then you have this like crack mode, where it just all starts going red and flashing, and then every time you get something, it blows up. And I've never got that in one player, but in two player, you get that quite often, and it goes mental. I call it crack mode. And when the crack mode comes on, I shout, oh, crack mode, crack mode! And then Rianne panics so much she can't get any of them. They're like, just like passes.
Trace, listen to this. Do you want to know what Alex is like? Because I don't really play this game much, but Susie plays it all the time. And the other day, he was telling me that Rianne, his girlfriend, had smashed my girlfriend's score.
True story.
Yeah, but now I learned that
it
was achieved in a cheating way. And now, I know.
It wasn't cheating. It was co-op.
Yeah, but you know, that's cheating. That's like two people, a game of tennis. Two people on one side of the net, one person on the other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the situation. And
that's unfair.
Yeah, and you've been playing with an invisible player.
You need to team up with Susie then. I'm only playing two player now. You need to face your bar.
I'll give it a go. It's a good game. I like it. The Blitz, yeah, I wouldn't touch any other mode apart from the Blitz. Tracy, are you a Bejeweled Blitz aficionado?
I am not.
It's really, really addictive. It's like, we were talking about crack before. Well, this is crack.
Fuel crack.
It's perfectly designed to be addictive because what it has is, and I've expounded this theory before, but, I, you know, like all my theories, I think it, you know, merits a second airing.
That's not true. Go on.
When you... to be addictive, a puzzle game has to have a certain element of randomness and a certain element of skill. Yeah. So you should be able to. So it should be fundamentally random, but you should be able to improve nonetheless. But it's about getting the balance right. And Bejeweled has that anyway. It's just very well designed. PopCap, the genius is at making this kind of game. Absolutely.
But what
the Blitz mode does is it. I suppose the difference is it's just that, but it lasts for 1 minute, and that's the masterstroke. So at the end of the minute, you just think, well, I'll have another go then, you know, because it's never long enough so that you think I better put this down. It's never, just having the minute and the constant panic of the clock ticking down and always
the noise after 15 when it's 15 seconds then it's like whoop whoop whoop. That's when you really start panicking.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's great. It's a really good puzzle game.
Yeah.
But these two, this game, Bejeweled 2 and Plants vs. Zombies, and this is why I downloaded Peggle, it's for Susie because she got really addicted to Bejeweled 2, so I downloaded Plants vs. Zombies to see if she'd like that. And she's gone nuts for it. She's completed it twice. And now she plays it probably about 3 hours a day. And I say, what are you doing? She's making money to buy stuff. And I said to her, how many times are you going to have to do? So she's doing this level where it's like one of those bowling levels where you just...
It's the things are coming out on the conveyor belt and you just slide them. Right.
Explain the game a bit. I've never played it.
Oh, it's a tower defense game where you use different varieties of plants to repel different types of zombies that are kind of coming towards you over a garden or later on a roof. And that's basically it, but it's just a very well-made one. And yeah, so you got, but there are loads and loads of different power-ups and plants to buy. And Susie got all the way through the game, and she'd only bought, I guess, about 20% of them. So she got all the way through the game she just ended up there because she was going through and buying them. And now she's going through it again, and her only interest is in just doing this level over and over again so that she can afford to buy this particular plant, and then she's doing it. She's got so many hours out of this game, it's ridiculous. So it's a girl game, that's what I think. That sounds a bit sexist. I like it too. It's not just a girl game, but it's like for Susie's kind of casual gaming mentality, and I do maybe unfairly kind of associate that with a kind of more casual female gamer, you know, mobile gamers.
I think the word you're looking for is simple.
Simple, yeah. No, because it is a good game. It's not as well. Simple is the wrong word because it's too complicated for me. But yeah, how they say mobile gaming is unique in that 50% of the people who play mobile games are women. I think that PopCap kind of typifies that approach to making games, and you can see it in Susie because she wouldn't touch Darksiders with a shitty stick, but she really loves these games. So yeah, well done.
Have people touch anything with shitty sticks?
Have you ever
touched anything with a shitty stick?
I've touched shit with a stick, and then the stick became shitty, and then I don't know anything I subsequently touched with it, I suppose. Yeah.
Is that taking shit out your trainer though, like when you stand in shit?
Just if I had a stick and I saw some shit.
What? So if you had a stick, you would put it in shit?
Well, not now. Like now, I've reached a time in my life where I probably wouldn't anymore, but yeah. Yeah.
What? There was a point where you would. I bet you ate your shit when you were a kid.
Not my shit.
What, you ate other people's shit?
No, I didn't eat any shit. But if I was walking along, because I was a country boy. You're a city guy, so you didn't see the shit. You didn't have any shit. With you, it was different.
Dog shit. Dog shit everywhere.
Dead rats. That's you know, McDonald's shit. Wrappers.
Dog shit.
All we had was shit. You know, I lived in a little village.
So all you do is get a stick and go out and poke the shit.
Sometimes we'd put salt on slugs.
Fair enough, I've done that. Still, God, your life was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, back to iPhone.
Yeah, no, I think we've run out of steam now. I think it's fair to say. But that was good. We talked about GDC. We talked about the games we've been playing. We talked about the merits of PopCap.
We gave rumors.
That was good. So that's it, really. Go to pocketgamer.co.uk and you can read all about it. And aside from that, it's goodbye from me.
Take care from me.
And bye from me.